mind was doomed. By the way, interestingly, even though it was Eve who first ate of the tree, she's not the one who got blamed for it. The man got blamed for it, which is typical, men, isn't it? We get the blame for things that happen. But that's what happened here. Notice it wasn't Eve who's blamed, even though she's the first one who ate of the tree. In 1 Timothy 2:14, Paul explains why that is. He says, "And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell into transgression." Eve was deceived by the serpent. But Adam, he wasn't deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was engaging in a hard-hearted act of rebellion against God. And because of that, he is the one who is charged with the sin. And those of you who think Paul is just some male chauvinist pig who hates women, I mean, here's good evidence that that's not true. He doesn't blame the woman. He blames Adam for the sin that entered the world. By the way, this passage is a great argument, seniors, for the historicity of Adam. You'll hear people, evolutionists, say, well, there was no such thing as the first Adam. There was no literal first man named Adam. And if so, he was just some primoid, you know, who, you know, crawled around on his hands and feet and so forth and was, you know, like a baboon and so forth. That's not what the Bible portrays. There are even some Christians who buy into theistic evolution. The Bible doesn't allow for that. The first man was absolutely perfect. There was a literal Adam who committed a literal sin that resulted in a literal damnation for all mankind. And by the way, it's interesting that he links the first Adam to the last Adam, Jesus Christ. If Adam was simply a mythological figure, then that means Christ must have been a mythological figure as well. But just as Christ was a literal human being, so is Adam. And he traces Adam's sin to the damnation of all mankind. Now look at the consequences of Adam's sin. What happened with Adam's sin? What was the consequence? In a single word, death. It was death to Adam, first of all. God had said to Adam in Genesis 2:17, "In the day that you eat of the tree, you shall die." So Adam was going to die. Eve was going to die because of their sin. But it wasn't just death to Adam and Eve. Adam's sin resulted in death for all mankind, including you and me. Look at verse 12 again. "And death spread through sin, and death spread to all men, because all sinned." So why do we die? Now, if Paul had stopped right here, here's how we would answer that question. We would say, well, we die because we sin. Adam died. He broke God's rules. He died. You and I sin. And so we die. We die because of the sins that we commit. Now, how many of you believe that's a good explanation? Raise your hand. You believe the word of God that we die because we sin. Raise your hand. And you don't act so sure of that. Don't you believe this book? Don't you believe we die because of sin? Or you're hesitant for a good reason. Does it really make sense that we all die because of sins we commit? Let's take a little baby girl that's just born without any arms or legs, and she dies 3 days later. Can you tell me what sin that little girl committed that deserved death? Did she die for any sin she committed? No, but babies die all the time, don't they? Mentally challenged people die all the time who have no understanding. So we can't say that we die because of sins, present tense, that we commit. Well, Paul didn't say that either. He didn't say death spread to all people because all sin, present tense. He says because all sinned, past tense. He is linking the sin that we inherit and the guilt deserving death back to Adam. When Adam sinned, you and I were held accountable for Adam's sin. And that means we not only inherited the virus of sin, the inclination to sin, the power to sin, we also inherited Adam's guilt. Death spread to us because of what Adam did in the garden. Now, Paul anticipates, a lot of people are going to object to that, saying that's just not fair, that I would be held accountable for what somebody else did. Well, he talks about our connection to Adam in verse 13. Now, this is where I need you to stay with me. Look at what he says. For until the law, he's talking about the Mosaic law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. That means counted against you where there is no law. God gave Adam a law. Don't eat of this tree. But from the time to Adam until Moses, thousands, perhaps more years afterwards, from Adam unto Moses, there was no specific law given to man. The law did not come until the time of Moses. Was there sin in the world during that time? Of course there was. But what Paul is saying is a legal truth. You can't charge somebody with violation of a specific command if that specific command is not known and is not there. That's what he's saying. Sin is not imputed, counted against a person where there is no law. Let me illustrate that for you. Where we live, we have water restrictions. You can only water 2 days a week. But let's say instead of saying you can only water 2 days a week, the law says you need to be as conservative as possible with your use of water. So I'm decided to water my lawn 5 days a week, 5 hours every day. And one day while the water is, you know, pouring into the street, my doorbell rings, I open it up, and there's a policeman. Said, "Dr. Jeffers, we're giving you a ticket for the violation of our water ordinance." I said, "What water ordinance?" And he says, "Well, you're supposed to be conservative with your use of water." And I said, "Well, to me, this is conservative." He said, "Well, we're going to charge you for the illegal use of water. Do you think his ticket's going to hold up in court?" Mm-mm. Because I didn't break any specific law. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Where there is no specific law, you can't be held guilty for breaking a law. But notice what he says in verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even those over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam." Even though there was no law from the time of Adam to Moses, did people die during that time? Of course they did. Were people sinning during that time? Of course they were. Think of the people in Noah's day. They were sinning. But they could not be charged for any specific sin because there was no specific law from the time of Adam and Moses. And yet they continued to die.
In his letter to the Romans, Paul builds a strong case for the history of God's law and the consequences of our sin. In the coming chapters, he'll explain our desperate need for God's amazing grace. My hope is that these rich theological truths awaken you to the beauty of God's love for you. As Pathway to Victory goes out every day through radio and television, we want you to encounter Jesus Christ in fresh new ways so that you're compelled to serve Him. Jim is one of our listeners who experienced an awakening. He wrote to me not long ago and said, "Pastor Jeffress, I haven't been to church in about 9 years. I know and understand that Christ is my Savior, but my life isn't where it needs to be. I feel like God is working through your program to bring me back to Him." That's great news, Jim, and that's why Pathway to Victory exists. And when you give to Pathway to Victory, God is using your generosity to reach men and women just like Jim. Your gift becomes the lifeline that rescues people who have lost their way. Today, when you give a generous gift to support Pathway to Victory, I'm going to say thanks by providing the book I mentioned earlier. It's called An Illustrated Guide to the Apostle Paul. Plus, when you respond, I'll also include the companion resource called The Journeys of Paul Map. This exclusive offer expires tomorrow, so don't delay in getting in touch with us. Thank you for giving generously today. While our ministry is growing and thriving, it's not without its challenges. All to say, we couldn't provide Pathway to Victory without friends like you. Thank you so much for your continued generosity. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffers. Today, when you invest in the ministry of Pathway to Victory by giving a generous gift, we'll say thanks by sending you the book, An Illustrated Guide to the Apostle Paul. It comes with a copy of The Journeys of Paul Map. Now, this is an ideal reference companion. To request the special package of resources, call 866-999-2965 or visit our website, that's at ptv.org. And when your investment is $75 or more, we'll also send you the audio and video discs for the Grace-Powered Living series featuring Romans chapters 1 through 8. But time is running out, though, to request these resources. Ask for your copy of the Grace-Powered Living Teaching Set, along with the book and the map, when you call 866-999-2965 or go online to ptv.org. You're always welcome to write to us, P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. Again, that's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. You know, when sin first entered the world, it seemed as if all hope was lost forever. But next time, we'll learn how the last Adam reversed the damage done by the first Adam. Hear the conclusion of our message called One for All, Friday on Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas.
Thanks for listening to Pathway to Victory. This program relies on your prayer and financial support. You can call them at 866-999-2965. And when you do, make sure to mention our call letters, WJMM.
Find out what's going on in Central Kentucky and submit your events to our calendar at WJMM.com.
Did you know there's money available to help you pay for trade school or college? Yep, and all you need to do is fill out the free application for federal student aid, also known as the FAFSA. Completing the FAFSA costs you nothing but time, and it can pay off big. And there are experts across Kentucky who can help. For more info, visit gearupky.org/money. That's gearupky.org/money.
Brought to you by this station and the Kentucky Broadcasters Association.
Our sister Phoebe has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2.
Welcome to today's encouragement from Our Daily Bread. Our reading, The Right Sister, was written by Dave Brannon and read by Stephen Tabor.
Most people know about the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, who invented, built, and flew the first successful airplane in the early 1900s. But few know the name Catherine Wright. Yet, in her brother's story of creating their flying machine, Catherine was essential to their success. While her brothers concentrated on the myriad details and experiments that led to their invention, Catherine chose to quietly and lovingly help them. She kept their bicycle shop going, the brothers' source of income, left her teaching job to nurse Orville back to health after a plane crash, and managed the endless details of her brother's growing fame. The value of the support of others is seen in Scripture as well. One example is Phoebe, mentioned by Paul as a benefactor of many people, and Priscilla and Aquila, a helpful couple presented in Paul's writing, hosted churches where Paul ministered and even risked their lives for him. Additionally, the apostle complimented Mark, saying he was helpful to me in my ministry. We can be the right brothers and sisters in Christ by serving others. The ongoing work of God needs helpers like Phoebe and us, guided by Him to serve this way. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of the others. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
And now, your Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
And so Moses went to God and said, "The people are dying. Can you please heal them?" And this is what God said in Numbers 21. He said, "Moses, I want you to make a serpent of bronze and put it on the end of a pole. And then I want you to hold that pole in the air and tell people, if they will simply in faith look at that bronze serpent, the moment they look and believe, they will be healed." And of all of the illustrations God could have used of what it means to have saving faith, that's the one Jesus used. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes, clings to, trusts in me alone, will have eternal life." That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to have saving faith.
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Isaiah House provides holistic substance abuse treatment to help recovering addicts achieve sobriety for a lifetime.
We know what that struggle is. We know how bad that is. We know all the damage and the chaos that we've created in the past. But the important part is we can show them the solution.
Kentucky Medicaid accepted for treatment. Call Isaiah House Treatment Center today, 859-375-9200. Isaiah House Treatment Center, real hope for addiction.
Life 99 WJMM FM Keene, a service of the Christian Broadcasting System.
WJMM.